Hallelujah, hallelujah. God sure has good timing. He knows exactly what he's doing, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it, how he wants you involved, and how he wants your help. He got me right at the right time. I was ready to go full throttle into the world and join my sisters and my brothers into the party scene and just lose myself in it. I was right on the edge. I was ready to graduate, and that was it. I was ready to go do whatever I wanted. But I had watched them. I had learned and seen what stuff they went through. And they were always unhappy, depressed, going through breakups, and life was rough for them. But I didn't see any other alternative. It's just, well, I guess that's life. I guess that's just the way it is for young people, you know? Just go mess around with the stuff that the world has to offer. But God, man, just sent someone. He sent someone right at the right time with the right words to say that just gripped my heart and just answered the question of, what am I here for? That's what I was looking for. What am I here for? I've experienced enough already. I've watched others experience things that I haven't gone into that didn't seem to fulfill them. What am I here for? And then you hear that message of, lay down your life. Live for other people. Be a blessing. Walk in love. And you think, yeah, I want to do that. It just sounds right. It sounds good. And you think of soldiers overseas laying down their life for me, and I don't even know the guy. They're willing to die for me. I think, what are you doing? Some people don't even appreciate you doing that overseas and doing all the things that you're doing, but you're still out there laying down your life for people that will come back and cuss you when you get back for going to war. And it's just the love of God that was put in us. What are you living for? You got anything worth living for? I know my family's worth living for. I know my friends are worth living for. I know the lost people out there are worth living for, sacrificing what I want to do with my time, just to tell them a simple thing, that God loves them and has a plan for their life. It's that easy. People will notice. All the people I work with that are worldly people, they all just look at my life and these, how do you have it so good? How is everything so chill and relaxed and so easy for you? How are you so blessed? How do you have such a good relationship with your wife? And like, just, how do you have that? It seems so unattainable to people to have a good, carefree, faith-filled life. I stopped serving self and served God, and he filled everything in between. It was really less of me, and all of a sudden he could have more of him in me. But they can see it. Everybody around you, they can see it. They can see God working in your life, how you're different, how you're forgiving when you shouldn't be, how you're merciful when you shouldn't be. It just speaks so much volume because they don't see that. They don't see that anywhere else. Who's nice to someone that insults them? Nobody. Nobody does that, but we do. Christ did. Man, he didn't deserve any of that. None of it. All he did was help people, cure sickness, cast out demons, free people from years and years of bondage and just depression and anger and sadness, just set people free. all day long. Man, just to follow him around. You do the same things when you speak life to people, when you speak in loving words. You set people free. You give people hope that there is good in this life. There is something worth living for. Look at that person. They have it so good. They have it so easy, it seems. I want that. I want what they got. How do you get there? Just go after them. Go after them. Come to places like this where you can just not think about all that other garbage that distracts you. Just get God focused. Really helps to realign our thoughts to godly thoughts. To just get rid of those distractions and things were easy when you got saved. Remember first getting saved is just wake up, think about God. Eat lunch, think about God. Go to sleep, think about God. Talk with God. Try to hear from God. See visions from God. Talk with people about God. Just get them in your thoughts. Get them in your thoughts. How do you get them in your thoughts? Listen to sermons. Read the Bible. Talk to godly people that talk about God stuff. Just surround yourself with godly stuff. If you want to talk like the world, just go hang out with the world. Go watch the movies of the world. Just go hang around them and you'll be like them. If you want to be God like God, just hang around people that are like God. There's maybe not a lot of them out there, but there's enough. You can find them. You can find them. They'll be some of the best friends you ever had. Because they'll speak into your life about your future and speak blessings and see the good in you. Because, yeah, we all got rough edges. We all got personality, things that can be annoying and frustrating, whatever. But a good, godly person, they'll look past all that. You could be socially awkward and be a weird person, but Christians, just look past that. Who cares about they don't know how to talk with the people right, you know? Just get past that, and what's God got for you, you know? What can God do through you? God can use anybody. You don't have to know all the scriptures and speak all nice. You just have to be nice. Be nice. Be nice is the simplest thing you can do to be Christ-like. Be nice for the sake of being nice. Being nice is good. Yeah, you reap what you sow. You're a jerk, people will be a jerk to you a lot of times. You sow a smile, you reap a smile. You say hello, people say hello back. Just be friendly and people be friendly back. Doesn't always happen, but most times people will see it and want to return the favor. Hallelujah. Bless God. Well, for those that don't know me, my name's Austin. AJ for family or friends. Mostly Milwaukee people call me AJ, but stands for Austin Jordan. And I have a blessed life. I have a blessed life. And you can too. God made it so simple for us. Receive his son. Receive his son and get to know him. Just get to know him. He'll make your life better. So now I just want to talk about my testimony for a bit. I don't know if anybody's heard my testimony here. Probably a couple people, but I have 5 sisters and a brother. And it was a busy house. We had a lot of people. We grew up also with foster kids as well. We had a brother and a sister probably when I was of foster kids when I was around 3 to 5. Had those two for a couple years. They were black kids, and the state took us away, just completely wrong, saying white parents can't raise black kids. And just back in the day, this is what it was. And we were just torn because they were brothers and sisters to us. You know, we grew up with them. And then we got three other foster kids, three boys that were brothers. Had them for a few years. They had a rough life. They didn't even know how to take a shower. They'd be drowning in the shower, trying to figure out how to breathe in a shower. You know, just, how do I breathe in this thing? So it was always a busy household. Just a lot of people to interact with, and very loving, just full of faith. And eventually, we got to around age 10, we moved to Milwaukee from Columbus, Ohio. And things weren't going well with my parents, but of course I didn't know that as a kid, you know. And eventually my mom broke it off with my dad and wanted to get a divorce. And kind of from that point on, kind of turned us kids all kind of away from God, because we all, you know, what do you do with that? Who do you blame? You know, when you're young, you just don't know what to think. You think, well, God's all powerful. He can do anything. You know, it's just what we grow up thinking. And it's just not right. He can't do anything. He can't force us to do anything we don't want to do. And so again, my parents is you stuck the blame kind of at God, like, God, you could have done something. You should have done something. But now we know that people have their own choice, their own free will. But I kind of turned us all away from wanting to serve the Lord. We still had to go to church because you let into this house, you got to follow by the rules and go to church. So we went to church. We all kind of grew up knowing God was real. We had seen enough things, enough miracles, enough. We knew heaven was real. We knew hell was real and that we didn't want to go there, but just kind of we're doing our own kind of things, you know. We can serve God later when we're good and ready. It's kind of our mindset. And so I'd seen a lot of my sisters grow up, graduate, and, you know, move on with life and enter the party scene. And that's what the world had to offer them. You know, what do you do? You go hang out with friends, you go get wasted, and you go to parties and dance clubs. We all love to dance. We are a dancing family, so it's like, just fit right in right there. And after watching enough, it was like, oh. Heartbreak after heartbreak and drama after drama. It's like, ugh, that doesn't really seem that appealing, but I don't know what else there is. So we all got our scapegoats, things that we like to do to kind of retreat from the world and its pains and its depression and its sadness and its hurts. And I went into video games kind of full throttle, just a way to veg out and not have to think about it, consume myself with fantasy, you know. And always felt good while I was doing it. And then when you backed away from it and you thought, ugh, this is it. This is what I have to live for. This is my future. Pretty lame. Gets your adrenaline going for a little bit. Play people online and, you know, people do skydiving. People do all sorts of things and sports and all that just to fill their time to not have to think about why their relationship with their parents are bad or why this happened and that happened, just to, you know. So I just dug myself right into video games and hours and hours and hours. Just go home, hated middle school. Would have loved to end my life in middle school, but From what I knew, those who committed suicide went to hell. That was what I was taught. Don't really believe that anymore, but, you know, people just, kids just want to be cool. So the easiest way to be cool is to stomp others into the ground and lift yourself up. So I was an easy target. I was quiet. You know, those quiet kids, they don't like to stand up for themselves. And so you're just easy target. You have a little sign that just says, kick me in the back. So I'd get in fights, never the one to start it, but sure didn't like people slapping me or hitting me, and so I just fight back. Grades were never good and just didn't care. What do I need an education for? I just play video games the rest of my life. Who needs money? Who needs to think about future stuff, college, and what I'm going to do in the future? Just think about it when I get to it. It's a bad idea. For anyone doing that, it's just a bad idea. It's good to think long-term into the future, because what you do now definitely will impact it huge. A lot of habits that you pick up that you just wish you never picked up, because it can be a little stinkers to get rid of, you know? Little mannerisms, little sayings, little everything, man. Just our flesh just likes to do habits and repeat things over and over. So better get some good habits. Find some people that do some good things and follow that example. You want to stay up there all night, or? You can come down if you want. It's up to you. That's a long time to sit there and play piano in the background. I like it, but. Thanks, honey. Thanks, Brian. But God had other plans for me to just waste my life away, amen? Way better plans. I had no clue what they were. Not a clue, not a smidget. No one ever told me God had really big plans for me. It's just, I see the cool stuff in the Bible, and we're supposed to be experiencing that. Well, I didn't see it growing up. Not much of it anyways. I saw it here and there, but where's like the daily living? Where's the Bible studies at home, the parents praying in tongues, and revival happening in my house? They sure kind of did that when they went to church, but when things got home, it was just back to normal. And it was just like, wait, you're living like a double life. Kids see that. Kids see right through that double lifestyle of putting on that front, that face for all your church buddies, and then you go home, and it's just, all right, time to do what I want to do, and do this, do that, and nope. No getting together praying, no studying the word with your kids, no reading, no explaining principles, and just there's so much I wish I learned from my parents that I just didn't. Yeah, I learned a lot, you know, compared to growing up in a worldly home. I at least knew some basics and some Bible stories of Goliath and David and that stuff, but there's so much more to teach your kids than just throwing them off and telling them the Samson and Goliath stories. You know, kids are like a sponge. You can pour some deep stuff into them in just simple terms, and they'll catch it, and they'll grab a hold of it, you know? So if you got kids, man, just start pouring into them, just like you'd have a conversation with an adult. Don't blow them off and think, well, they're too young for all that stuff. Just explain a little simpler terms, a little easier, just downplay it a little bit, make it simple, but the exact same principles. Find out what your principles you want to instill in them, and then find an easy way just to express it, something that they can understand. God will help you. He'll give you wisdom with it. Because I know I sure could have used some godly insight of what God's like, because I just thought he's some meanie who could do anything he wanted that wasn't doing it, you know? Why is my life such a wreck? Why does he let bullies mess with me? Why does he allow my parents to break up? Why, you know, all this stuff that you just want to, my parents just could have told me, God doesn't cause that stuff. We have our own free will to do. That would have been huge. That would have just helped me and not been so mad and upset at God and try to blame him for all this stuff. Yet in the back of my mind, I knew it's probably all the devil's fault, but it's just easier to blame God, you know, it's just because you don't know what he's capable of. What is he capable of? Where's his limit? Where's his boundary of what he can force on people? What can he cause to happen? What can't he cause? Kids want to know those things. They want to know what he can and can't do. It'll help them so much. Because judging God's a bad idea. And we can cause our kids to judge God by not informing them of what God's like and his boundaries. I don't want my kids judging God for something that wasn't him at all. Let them know. That's the devil. This is, if it's death, destruction, stealing, killing, destroying, that's the work of the devil. And God is fighting against it, valiantly against it, doing everything he can. But he needs people. He needs their words to speak. He needs people to walk in love and action. He's waiting on you to do something about it, for you to change the situation. Tell it to you. He's waiting on you. You can change it. You can start speaking. You can start negating the things that are happening. Just speak what God speaks and walk in love. They can understand that real easy. So I was ready to graduate, barely. Didn't care about my grades at that time. And it was coming to a point in my life where it's just, man, this is getting old real quick. You know, just life's getting old. Tired of serving self. Show me something worth living for. And so my dad tells me of a minister that's coming to speak. And he's going to be there for 2 weeks. And he's going to have services every night. And they last like 4, 5, 6 hours at a time. And he wanted me to go. And I'm thinking, you're crazy. I don't even like going on Sundays and Wednesdays. And you want me to stick around for 4 or 5 hours a night? You're loco. I was like, what are you thinking? We go because we kind of have to. It's like, yeah, we kind of have church friends that we hang out. And then you see them outside of church. You're like, oh, those are my church friends. Don't want to be seen with them, you know. But deal with them while you're there and just play cool, you know. So it tells me this minister is coming. I'm like, I think I'll pass on that. So I did. I passed. The 2 weeks went by, and they were going to do one more service, our youth group kind of Wednesday night that we had. It was kind of like a invite the community, and it had arcades galore. It had a whole first floor of 3 pool tables and ping pong tables and foosballs and arcades around the whole thing of like a gym. It was huge. And so they had one more night scheduled. I didn't know they had one more night. I wasn't following up on any of what was going on. So that Tuesday, right before that Wednesday night, I went out frisbee golfing with a buddy of mine that was a neighbor. He was a little bit older than me. And we always walk to Dretzka or drive to Dretzka Park and play frisbee golf. And we pull up and we're on like the fourth hole, and all of a sudden I see my church friends driving in a car. I'm like, don't really see them outside of church, but they're like way out. I'm like far away from their place where our church is. So I'm like, what are these guys doing here? So I'm like, oh. And I just try to throw my frisbee and get out of there because I'm with my worldly buddy. And I was like, I don't know who they be, you know? But sure enough, they saw me. They pulled their car over and 4 of them got out and they beelined it right for me. And I'm like, oh, no. So my friend's like, who are these guys? Those are my church friends. Oh, okay. You know. So they get over and I'm like, hey, what are you guys doing here? And they give each other the funny look of, well, we're preaching Christ. My jaw had to hit the floor like, huh? Because these kids were just like me. They had grown up in the church, living their own lifestyle, doing things that we shouldn't do, and just parents made them, and a lot of them were like that. Just none of us were serving God and really cared about that stuff. We just hung out and played games, and yeah, we knew he was real, and we're all in the same boat. And now they're out here preaching Christ to strangers. And my jaw was just, what? Don't you need like a degree for that? Don't you need like to be like super preacher, to like go like, and doesn't the dove need to come down while you're standing in the Jordan and like, oh, this is my beloved son and daughter, you know? I'm like, you're doing what? I said, while we're preaching Christ. I didn't know what to say. Kids that were just like me 2 weeks ago, and they're out here preaching Christ. Well, that didn't look like the Bible. I didn't know what did. I didn't see anything like that my whole life. And I thought, something is going on. So anyways, I finished playing frisbee golf, went home that night. And the Holy Spirit was already stirring something in me. Just, what are you living for? What's worth living for in your life? And I couldn't answer. I just couldn't find an answer. I don't know. What's the point? What's the point of this life? I don't know. And so I went to the Wednesday night youth night. A guy named John Gray, who was a part of Tommy Zito Ministries, was preaching that night. You know, we had our games for an hour, and then we went up for service for an hour, and then you go back down for an hour. And so we went up, and it's like, oh, who's this guy? And he got up, and he just started preaching the Bible. But a little different than what I'd been used to. He was kind of shouting and screaming, but with passion, not with hype, not with, I had seen hype. You know, I had seen sensationalism. I knew all about that. This was like an urgent passion for God and for me. It's like you could hear that desperation, his tone, that this may be the last time he gets to talk to us. And he wanted to make an impact. And you could just hear it in his words, the words of Christ. There's more to life than living for yourself. Live for other people. Lay down your life. You won't find purpose in life until you lay it down for other people. Exactly what Christ said. Unless you lose your life, unless you lose it, then you'll gain it. I just hadn't heard that. And I was always thought, you know, try to find your life. Try to find your life in God. Try to just be a good Christian. Just do good, you know. But lay down my life, sacrifice, what's that about? And when I was up there, I just started preaching that nonstop and just kept going and going. It just started putting a fire in me under my seat, and I just started sweating. I was like, what is this? You know, I didn't know at the time what the anointing felt like, what the Holy Spirit felt like. My heart started pounding, and I just started getting convicted. I just couldn't sit in that seat anymore when they gave that altar call. Just 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, I just couldn't sit in that seat. I knew God was challenging me. Say, come taste and see. And if it's bad, spit me out. Go ahead. But if it's good, I said, God, if this is real, then I want it. I will jump full in. And let me tell you, he did not disappoint. He did not disappoint. I went up there. I didn't cry in front of people at all. You bottle everything up. You don't show any type of emotion like that. I hadn't cried in years. Went up there. I didn't think I was going to cry. But man, as soon as I got up there, the freedom that just came in peace just like hit me with a sledgehammer and just broke. I could just feel like a wrecking ball just came and broke those barriers between me and God that I had put up, those barriers of hate and judgment towards him. And so I had blamed him for a lot of things. Said, I know you can do better, God. You could have done things in my life. But it wasn't true. He just tore down those lies that I allowed the devil to build up in my head because I was ignorant. I didn't know any better. Just instantly just went up there, and as soon as I put my hands up, boom, it just hit. Just tears just rolled down my face, couldn't contain it. And God just made himself real to me at that moment. I knew. Didn't have to rely on my dad's experience, my mom's experience, my brothers and sisters' experiences, I knew it was something supernatural coming over me. I would never do that in the natural. Never. You would never see me like that. To go up in front of people and lift my hands, let alone, and then even cry, wasn't going to happen. But it was the goodness of God that just led me to that repentance. Deep down, I knew he was good. I knew he was good and that there was more for my life that he could offer me. But I was just scared to jump into it, scared I'd end up like everybody else, scared I'd end up like my parents and just try to live a Christian life that seemed fake. You know, they got divorced. Their life must be fake. You know, now I don't judge them as much for it because people make mistakes. You know, what did they know? It's probably the things that their parents taught them, you know, just... It's easy to try to judge other people, but you don't know what they went through and what they know at the time. You know, maybe that was how their parents were towards them. Just work hard and, you know, show a little bit of affection and go to church and you're good. You know, can't expect any less from them if that's how their parents were. Maybe their parents were drunks and they beat them and we have it good compared to what they had. You know, you just don't know what your parents knew. So when you find out what's real and what's not, instill those into your kids, you know. Take them to the level that you're at. Bring them up with you. Don't leave them behind and stick them in a class and say, oh, they'll figure it out on their own. It's a bad idea. It's a bad idea. God called you to raise your kids up in a godly, God-fearing, instill the principles and things that he's taught you. Don't leave it to a church worker. Don't leave it to some organization. Don't leave it to a school. God gave that responsibility to you. Amen. Amen. It's an awesome responsibility. If I knew the things that I knew now as a kid, you know how much I'd be able to help people, where I'd be at right now. So all the things I could have avoided, where would you be if you had learned these things as a kid? The amount of exponential growth and amazingness that can happen when you instill these things into little kids is unbelievable. You want to see kids raise the dead. You want to see kids healing people and preaching Christ. They can do it. They can do it. Tell them the truth. Tell them in the Word. Have Bible studies with them. I don't know why the Holy Spirit just keeps drilling that in me. Just spend time with the kids. Spend time with the kids. Tell them the principles that God's taught you. But after that, that was the best summer of my entire life. I ate, slept, and breathed God every day. Every day, man, just woke up with such peace, such faith that everything was good. Looked at people completely different. I just wanted to bless them. I just wanted to give something to them, to offer them, people, someone, something. Oh, you're missing that in your life? Let me see if I can help. You're sad? Let me see if I can make your day happy. You're depressed? Let me see if I can give you some joy. You know, just wanted to give of yourself. And our youth group just got aflamed in a way that I just haven't seen the likes of. Because we were meeting, you know, once a week for youth group, and we got together and we said, this isn't enough. How am I supposed to have a relationship with God if I only do it once a week? You know, not knowing, I'll go home and do that stuff. You know, it's been so spoon-fed our entire lives just from teachers and whatever, not from the church, but, you know, my parents didn't show me how to do that personally in my own life, so it didn't make sense to me. Don't you only do that stuff at church? So, well, we got to have more services. And so we'd have 2-3 services a week every other day. We say, we need more service. We get together and we just be on our face and worship an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours sometimes, and then maybe a little message. Sometimes we get there and you just teach the whole night and just and we would just soak it up like a sponge, and just it was glorious. glorious, glorious, glorious. Man, where God's brought us today. You can have that. You can have that. Don't let anybody tell you that, oh, well, when you get more mature in the Lord, things will die down. You get less excited. You can. Who wants a relationship to get less exciting? Oh, yeah, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. I hope it gets worse and worse. And just no one says that. How do you keep that relationship alive and burning? And just the way it was, yeah, things change. Things are going to get different. You're going to know each other more, and you don't need to do some of the certain same things that you did before, but some of them you do. Quality time, gifts, the love languages, man, the acts of service, and just stay on those things, and you have a fruitful, long-living relationships. Same with God. If you were more, say, on fire at one time for the Lord, just go back to the same original things you did. You just woke up and you thought about him and you put on some praise music and you just spent some time with him. He loves stuff like that. You want to give gifts to him, you know? I give you, you know, you can give things to God. You can bring things to church and say, you know, I'm going to give you my best, you know. Say you like your electric guitar. It's the best thing in the world. So you just, here you go, God. I'm just going to give this to the church. I'm just going to give this to you. Treasure night, we used to call them. We just have those all the time. Just, God, I haven't given you something worth sacrificing in a long time. I'm just going to bring you something that really is close to my heart. And boom, just hand it over. You don't have to give money up here all the time. You can give things that you feel God's impressing on you to give. Well, I don't know if they'll have need for that. Well, they may. I may have somebody that just asks. You never know how God can work. He may ask you to give it to the church, or may tell you to give it to somebody else, a coworker. Or that's giving to people. It's the same thing as giving to God. It's just, here you go. The same things you build normal relationships with, time, you know, good words, encouraging words, you know, just getting close in their presence. It's the same thing. You want a strong relationship with God, just do the same thing you do in kind of in a normal relationship. Just set time aside. You have to set time aside for them. So that's what we were doing in youth group. We just wanted every second to be with him. We'd have service one night, and then the next day we'd just go out and preach out in the streets. That's all we did all summer. Service, preach on the streets. Service, meet with God, preach on the streets. Service, meet with God, preach on the streets. Just repeat over and over. And it never got dull. You just ran into people all the time that just, you just knew you touched them. You knew they needed that same God experience that you just had that would just change their life. And you could give that to them. Who was I? Just a little kid, you know, just a teenager, you know, just what words did I have? You know, the first time I was scared. I was not a people talker at all. I was very shy and reserved. You think, well, Austin's pretty talkative, kind of outgoing. I'm both. I can be quiet or I can be life of party if I want to. But I wasn't always that way. I was always just very keep to myself, bottle everything up, and live in my fantasy of my video games. Even when I'm not playing, I'll just think of things I could do in them, you know. And just, but now it's like, oh, man, I'm free to, like, think about other stuff, free to think about people and how I can bless other people. All right, let's get the planning. But the first time I remember going out, you know, they had this little script that we'd read people. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm just going to go with my youth pastor, and he's just going to go and talk to him, and I'll just watch. And he says, hey, my name's Rob. Austin has three things to tell you. Like, get out your paper. I'm like,
God loves you and has a plan for your life. Oh, man. I would have paid to see that. Yeah, you probably have your youth pastor just a little video camera like. I totally would have done that. But, man, just getting out of here got me right out of my comfort zone real quick. But I found out people didn't really care that you sat there and read that little script to them. The only thing they really cared about was that you took the time out of your day to come and tell them God loves them and has a plan for your life. You took the time out of your day to do whatever you could have been doing, and you're right there on the sidewalk with them telling them about God and how much he loves them and how the awesome plan he has for them. The good news, the gospel is easy. It's good news. You're sick, God wants you better. You're broke, God wants you wealthy. Yeah, unbroke, yes. Yes. You're depressed, God wants you full of joy. You don't have any peace, can't sleep, God wants you to get a good night's rest and full of peace. It's the good news. It's simple. It's not some, I got to have the exact right scripture for their situation. No, just simple. Anyone here can lead someone to the Lord. There's no magical prayer they have to say, no magic little formula. Just believe in Christ. Do you want to confess him as your Lord and Savior? And have him live inside of you and just be a part of your life? Yeah. You know, not everyone will say yes. Some people just, no, I don't need that. That's their choice. Dust off your shoes and move on and tell somebody else the good news. Whoever is going to receive it will receive it. Those who reject it will reject it. But man, when they do receive it, and the smile you see after, a lot of times the tears that just roll down their face like, man, I needed that. And you just think back to the time when you got saved. It's like, man, I needed that. Those lies and that hate and that anger just all just came down, and I had something worth living for, something worth dying for. I had the best of both worlds. Best of both worlds. You can do anything through Christ. Anything. Doesn't matter how old you are, how intelligent you are or you aren't. Doesn't matter. Just good news. Just tell people the good news. People, again, co-workers you work with. I got two guys I work with right now. They just see my life. I don't even talk about Christ. They bring it up to me. And just, how come you guys never are swearing and getting upset about things? And how come your home life is good? You know, just they see it. Just be consistent. Don't sit there and complain. Just talk faith. You don't even have to talk scripture, but you can be cognito about it and just talk faith. Don't complain. Just nope, my life is good. We're blessed and we're moving up. And you know, don't bash other people because they'll just join right in. But man, just speak positive of other people, and they'll think, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Nothing. I'm chill. I want what you got. Your life seems easy. Life is just, faith just makes it easy. Faith and love and hope. Man, you don't realize how much that is a part of your life until you don't have it. It's like now it's just like, it's just a part of me. It just comes almost natural in a sense. Just when you have a relationship with God, it's just there. But try to think back to the time when you didn't have it, when you didn't have God and you were just hopeless. Man, but how simple it was just to have that hope. Just, that's all I did. God, if you're real, show me. God, if this is real, I want the real deal. Boom. And he just, it can happen right on the street, right on your job site. Just, if you want to know God's real, just ask him. And they can do it right there. They can go home that night and be like, God, that is a funny conversation. Are you real? Boom. You can just write on them. But they won't know until we're sent, until you open your mouth. How can they hear unless there's a preacher? They're waiting for that good news. That good news, that simple, easy good news, and that testimony. They love people in the world. They want to hear that testimony. They know how God was real to you, not how they was real to somebody in the Bible 2,000 years ago. That don't mean anything to them. But it happened to you? Well, that's a different story. I can relate to you because I know you. I work with you. Right? I mean, I want to know people's experiences. That really happened to you? Yeah. It'll blow them out of the water. Think, you know what? Maybe this God stuff is real. Don't shove a book down their throat unless they want that book, you know. But show them your own life experiences. How God changed your life. What miracle and miraculous thing he did for you. What time are we at?
8:05? No way.
I thought there was like a half hour left. I was like, I gotta keep going, otherwise it's gonna get on too early. Wow. Yeah, maybe some other time I'll get into whatever thing that happened after that, because that was just the beginning, you know. It's just the beginning. Man, what God's done from then is just man, my whole, who am I? Look back now, who am I? Who I used to be? Who is that guy? Some distant stranger that didn't have a clue about anything. But now I know what God knows. He's told me things. He's shown me things. He's just made the world a difference. He's filling me in on his plan, things for the future. You want to know the things for the future for your life? Just stick around him for a bit, man. Right? He wants to show you all those things. And it's just like, because he wants you prepared. How else are you going to get prepared to start moving that direction if he doesn't show you first? So just get rid of those distractions long enough just to get a vision and get some thoughts that he can dump in you, and boom. Oh, that's what you want me to do. That seems out there. Yep, it'll happen. You'll get to it. He'll make it happen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Holy Spirit, Jesus, God the Father, for how much you've invested in us and how much you want to be with us and in us. We just thank you for wanting to spend time with us and being our God, being my God, for making yourself real to me those many years ago. But it hasn't stopped there. Lord, every day you constantly show yourself real to me. Thank you for living big on the inside of me and for the message of peace and the good news and the mercy and the love and the joy that you've put in me to share with the world. Thank you, Lord. I thank you. You're so good. It's your goodness that will lead men to repentance. Help me to share that message, that gospel, and that good news. Beautiful are the feet of those that share the gospel. Hallelujah. You are beautiful, Lord. You are beautiful. Thank you for making me beautiful. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.